In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we made it this morning. We were not sure we were going to get here. The joy of summer. People go on vacation. It's hard to fill the schedule. For those of you who are not scheduled, who are now sitting on the altar, thank you so much. And to the parents who allowed this to happen, thank you so much. We got here. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we're hearing about, in the gospel, a great story on how Jesus calls us to go out and do the work that he has done. But I really want to talk to you about what's going on with Paul this morning, church. We got to listen to Paul. Because all these things and these workings that Jesus can do, the Holy Spirit can do through his people, requires a little participation on our side. We have to think about how do we go about doing it. And I think that's probably where the church struggles the most. Amen? And Paul, in his own way, is telling us, so I'm going to, you know, try and figure out what he's saying here. He starts out in very Pauline fashion. He's speaking about himself, by the way. And he says, I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise. And heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. Now, most of us are just going, okay, whatever. What's Paul talking about? Because it's Paul, right? He's cycling around. It's like trying to read a tax form, amen? It's like you could have given us a little bit of information while simultaneously giving us more. But he's sharing his thoughts and this concept of, really, he had this encounter with God. You know, caught up to the third heaven or into paradise. We could translate that relatively safely to he found himself in the presence of God. And if you want to find out how many people are still trying to figure out what he means, feel free to Google that. You can spend the rest of your life trying to figure out or define the third heaven or paradise. I'd rather just say Paul found himself in the presence of God. And in that process, he heard things. And he came to know and understand things at a very different spiritual level. But he'll also go on to indicate perhaps he really wasn't sure how to fully articulate those things, which maybe is part of why this sounds a little circular. Now, some of us have had experiences with the risen Lord, amen? And you come to this place of knowing. You know your God, amen? That doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? You know your God, amen?
Amen?
Thank you. Jesus is Lord? How long have I been gone? It's the first and simplest creed of the church. Jesus is Lord, amen?
Amen.
Jesus?
Lord.
Okay, see, we got to know these things. You know, if we don't know that, the rest of it really doesn't make a lot of sense. If we know Jesus is Lord, then we can hear the way in which God speaks to us through his word, and we can even hear God speak to us through what Paul has written, inspired by him, to help us figure out how do we do this? How do we do it better? And I'm saying Paul is giving us some extremely important information today. As he continues on, he desires to do this work humbly. In verse 6, he's talking about not boasting. Yeah, I don't want to boast. But I might boast in someone like this who had this experience, but he doesn't want to boast in himself. And he says in verse 6, but if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Paul does not want to appear to others as having something that they don't quite grasp or understand, or worse, think they cannot have. So this is where the church often gets in trouble. We have these moments and we come to the understanding of the grace of God and we move in his grace, and then we meet people. I meet people, shockingly, mostly to my family, that think I've been a priest forever and I'm this wonderfully holy person. Exactly. And then they get to know me. And then they leave the church. But no, but the fact of the matter is, I tell people, I catch people sometimes, I'll say something or do something, and they look very puzzled, and I simply just say, you know, I haven't been a priest my whole life. I'm still working on it. I'm going to make mistakes. And then there are times people approach me in ways that I recognize they think I know something they don't. I promise you that's not true. See, I know Jesus is Lord. That's pretty much all I know. Now, I got a bunch of books that tell me all kinds of other things. And I got pieces of paper that tell me that other people with a bunch of books told me a lot of other things. And I heard them and passed a few tests along the way. But the reality is this, we're on this journey, as Paul was on this journey, and Paul is recognizing that there are things that have happened in his life that set him apart just a little bit from the fullness of understanding of others, but he doesn't want to present it in such a way that makes it impossible for others to come and receive what he has, the grace of God. And he's warning the church. This is something we should be aware of. So this is one of the reasons why people, they're like, oh, you know, I can't, if I walk into the church, it'll fall down. They see the place as a holy space that they can't enter, and it should be just the opposite, quite frankly. Yes, it's a holy space, but it's open to all people who are ready to walk through the door, that by God's grace and by God's grace alone, we can come into this relationship with him. And we don't want to present ourselves in such a way that others think maybe it's unattainable. So in order to do that, we have to remain humble. But I think the church sometimes struggles with that in our elation, as Paul would call it. We found God's grace and mercy, and we live into it, and we do improve slightly as human beings, hopefully. And we really want to live into that. But there are times when we really have to remember we are not complete here. We have not received all that God has for us. We are not perfected. Amen? So Paul's saying, in a sense, as much as he would like to be perfected, he knows that that's not going to build up the kingdom. So that's why the church is often seen as being judgmental and hypocritical. And there's really only two reasons why that happens. We're judgmental and hypocritical. Amen? I mean, if there's someone here who's never judged anybody, who's never been a hypocrite, let me give this to you. Because he was certainly worthy of it, more so than myself. But we can be honest about it and just say, you know, we're doing the best we can. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong. We should never present ourselves as something more than we are. Because Paul would tell you that we're really nothing. And he continues to on that path. In fact, he has come to understand his own brokenness in a very interesting way. He goes, therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Now, again, you can go digging and find out how much ink has been spilled on what this thorn is. You can literally get a list on the internet. I found it. There's like 15 or 20 things that people think this thorn is. Here's the reality, brothers and sisters. It's his thorn. Doesn't really matter. The question is, what's yours? What is this thing that keeps fighting you back and forth from your Christian life and the worldly desire? And come to the reality, as Paul has, to say that whatever this is that is constantly tempting me to turn away from Christ or to fall away or to fall short of the glory of God, whatever that is, he literally begs God three times to take it away, and he didn't. And Paul's come to the conclusion that maybe I need it. When I'm feeling a little too full of myself, and I think I got this down, that's when I do whatever this thing is that I do, or I have this, whatever happens to him, that reminds him he is just human. He is not the Savior. Amen? Not a bad thing for all of us to have. Now, we don't want to celebrate that thing, but we do want to identify it. Amen? So the thing that I'm most likely to do, which most of you probably already know, is going to have to do with the way I speak. There are times when my vocabulary is made up of words that don't have more than about four letters. Now, I strive not to do that. And if you haven't heard me say a four-letter word, thanks be to God. And only thanks be to God and his grace. But if you do hear me say that, just know I'm trying. I, too, have asked God over and over, way more than three times, to stop doing that. And he's like, yeah, stop doing that. And yet here I am in my human frailty, and I continue to fall into this process. And there's probably a few other things we don't want to get into today. I'll handle that with my father later. But there's a truth in that. Now, here's what I think becomes the struggle. We see that as failure and making us unable to do what God's called us to do. And I'm saying that's not what it is. The reality is we are all in that same boat. And there's not one of us any holier than the other in this room right now. Now, we may have a holier moment than another, but we're going to have our thorn moment, undoubtedly, within 24 hours. And we just have to recognize that if I see that, then I can recognize this is my weakness. I am weak here. So we look at that and we see it as weakness, and that causes us to back away. Those are the things that the messenger, the evil one, is saying, you're not worthy, you're not capable, you're not ready. You're not old enough, you're not young enough, you're not capable enough, you're not physically able, you're not whatever it is. Those are things that come up, and then we hear them, and we hear them in a different way than Paul does, and we sit back and we go, well, it's not for me. Paul is telling us probably the most important thing we need to know today. When you are feeling that, I promise you it is going to happen at the times when you just know in the depth of your heart it is time for you to do what God's called you to do. It's going to be in that moment when you're about to step out in a major way to glorify God. And then all that comes crashing in, and that's your weakness. Now, Paul knew that. So how does he now see his weakness? Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. He said, but here's the problem. When we are weak, we know we are weak, and we feel weak. Paul is saying in those moments, that's where Jesus comes in. That's where we can find his strength to walk in the direction he's calling us to walk. In those moments when you're walking into a situation and you don't know what you're going to find, you do not know what you're going to see, and you do not know what to do. And you just acknowledge it and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And then you go anyway. Because that is when he is going to do what he wants to do through you. Because there's nothing of you left. So Paul is learning to celebrate his weakness. Because it is in his weakness is where he sees the strength of God. The very presence of God. Which he knows a little something about. Because he has experienced the very presence of God. He's calling us to hear that today and to know that. So we just have to ask ourselves, which we did earlier, do you know Jesus? Are you striving to live a life in Christ? Are you damaged, broken, sinful, weak in some fashion? God knows this. Paul knew this about himself. God's grace is sufficient for each of us. Yes, it's hard to grasp that. In order to see the full strength of the grace of God, we have to be willing to move for God in our weakest moments. And no matter how good we think we've become, there will always be some thorn in our flesh that reminds us that we are still fallen humans, not yet perfected. So in those moments, brothers and sisters, be sure of the truth that you know this Jesus. You know your Jesus. Know that his grace is for you, and you have experienced that grace. Know that in your weakness, he is strong. Surrender. Be comfortable or content, as Paul would say, with your weakness. That's where he endures the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, the calamities, for the sake of Christ. For just like Paul, whenever we are weak, we are strong.